Scripture lesson this morning is Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I find that life is never what I plan. Sometimes things turn out far better than I ever planned or ever dreamed. Sometimes life's a major disappointment. Many times my plans have failed, and as they did, I struggled with disappointment. Yet over time, God fulfilled a better plan. God's plans are always far superior to mine. Such were the dynamics of the first Christmas. Joseph was engaged to Mary. Now I remind you of something you already know, but I remind you this morning that the ancient Hebrew couple was legally married. The ceremony and consummation was yet to come, but they were married, legally and binding. Had Joseph died during the engagement period, Mary would have been a widow. They were legally married. The anticipated birth of Jesus was a major curve in this young couple's life. We don't know for sure, but likely Mary and Joseph were making plans for the wedding and their life together. The Bible is clear that both were believing and faithful followers of God. Then out of the blue, Mary runs the risk of losing everything, including her life, to obediently follow the call to give birth to the Son of God. Now, Joseph was faced with a dilemma, to say the least. Unless we have suffered from this type of thing, we can't imagine the emotional issues that Joseph is facing with thinking his fiancée, legally, his wife, has been unfaithful and now is pregnant with another man's child. Yet even in his emotional distress, even in his feeling betrayed, as he at that time thought he was, he was trying to find the best way to dissolve the marriage. Legally, he had the right to say, look, this woman's been unfaithful, they stone her to death, and he goes on his way, and that's the end of the story. But Joseph didn't feel right in doing that. And he knew there was no way for Mary to escape total disgrace, but he didn't want her to be disgraced or harmed any more than what could be avoided. And so after he's in this emotional struggle and this moral struggle, and he has decided that he's going to divorce her quietly, he encounters assurance from God through an angel in a dream. And thus Joseph obeyed the call to be the adoptive father of Jesus, to the point that people in Nazareth would later think that he was actually Jesus' natural father. Mary and Joseph encountered a curve that none of us can imagine. Yet through that curve, their names have been immortalized as they were in partnership with God and ushering in the salvation of the world. You know, life doesn't always work out the way we plan. But if we are genuinely pursuing the will of God and seeking to obey and follow God, the curves of our lives can become the road to greater gifts. Perhaps you're familiar or will remember the story of the ivory and gold tablecloth. It's been repeated many times, but it first appeared in the December 1954 issue of Reader's Digest. Shows you how far back it goes. But the article recounts how a young pastor and his wife were attempting to serve an old established church housed in a building that was in horrible disrepair. You know, that's kind of the dream of every fresh pastor, going to somewhere that's about died and come in and revive it. So this young couple were in that dream. We don't know how it turned out, but they were in that dream of taking a church that was dying and bring it back to life. The building itself was in horrible disrepair. At one time, it had been a flourishing congregation with many famous preachers having spoken there. The rich and poor had worshiped together there, and at one time, this building that they were now in was a beautiful, beautiful church facility. But the good days had now passed, and the church was in terrible disrepair. But the young pastor and his wife thought, you know, with some work, they could bring this church back. So it was nearing Christmas. Storm comes through the area, and the leaking roof allowed the rain to soak the plaster, causing a huge chunk of the wall to fall out right behind the chancel area. Left a gaping hole. 2 days before Christmas, no less. But later that evening, there was going to be an auction for the youth of the church. And so the pastor saw an elegant but very outdated gold and ivory lace tablecloth. He bid $650 for it. Now, mind you, young pastor, dying church, $650 was a whole lot more in 1954 than $650 is today. But still, it seems to have been a smaller price, but he was able to buy it for that $650. And he positioned it over the hole behind the altar, and the sun was coming in through the windows, and it just glistened as he placed it up there for Christmas. Well, it was just before noon on Christmas Eve, and the pastor was opening the church to get ready for the Christmas Eve service, and he noticed a woman sitting at the bus stop. And it was cold. And he knew the bus wouldn't be there for another 40 minutes, so he invited the woman in to come and wait for the bus in the warmth of the church. Well, she was a World War II refugee. And in broken English, she conveyed to the pastor that she was from Vienna. And she was in town, that she had applied for a job, but she was turned down for it. And so she sat in the pew while the pastor got the sanctuary ready for the service, and she bowed her head and prayed. And she looked up and she saw the pastor adjusting the tablecloth. Well, she walked up to the chancel area and rubbed the cloth between her fingers and started to tell the lady about the damage in the storm and how this tablecloth was patching the hole. And she said, "It's mine. It's my banquet cloth." And to the pastor's surprise, she lifted up a corner and showed some initials monogrammed on it. She said, "My husband had the cloth especially made for me in Brussels. It's one of a kind." And for a few minutes, the two talked. She explained how she was from Vienna and how her husband had opposed the Nazis and they decided they better leave the country, but they had been advised that it was best to leave separately. So he sent her on a train, and he was supposed to meet her later across the border, but it never happened. She never saw him again. She says she heard that he had died in a concentration camp. The pastor tried to get her to take the tablecloth, and she refused. Well, that evening they had the Christmas Eve service, and it was a tremendous success. The tablecloth was a hit, as in the candlelight, it just glistened. And the pastor was doing the greeting thing at the doorway. And a gentle-faced, middle-aged man, who was the local clock and watch repairman, looked puzzled. And in a soft voice, he said, "It's strange. Many years ago, my wife, God bless her soul, and I owned such a cloth. My wife would put it on the table in our home in Vienna, but only when the pastor came to dinner." The young pastor, you know, obviously got excited, and he told the jeweler about the woman he had met earlier, and he said, "Can she really still be alive?" So the pastor and this gentleman contacted the family where the woman had interviewed for the job that she did not get. But they were able to find her address. And at dawn of Christmas, the husband and wife, who each thought the other was dead, were reunited. Strange, isn't it? How a series of curves prior to a Christmas Eve service led to the miracle of which this couple dared not dream. You know, when's God the author of the curve? When does Satan send the curve and God turns it into something good? When does life just happen but God turns it into something good? I'm not that wise. Maybe some of you feel like you are, but I'm not. I don't even try to figure that out. I leave that to God. But often God has a way of taking the curves that we encounter and working them for our good, for God's plan. Sometimes, even when our hearts are in the right place, life throws us a curve. But sometimes in that very curve, we find the life that God intends. Marty was 8 years old. He and his family moved into a trailer in a wooded area near Redmond, Washington. That winter was like so many winters in Washington or Washington State. Sloppy, wet, muddy. You know, most mamas don't like muddy floors and muddy houses, but in that weather it was unavoidable. But this mother still tried to take her children and have a Merry Christmas. Apparently she was a single mother. Well, Marty's mother and the children would sing songs and do different things for Christmas. And Marty, she always said that Marty looked like a puppy because he would always cock his head when trying to pick up the sounds of Christmas, because Marty was deaf in his left ear, though he never complained. Now, all during the season, Marty was working all of the special odd chores he could to earn extra money. He had a best friend, Kenny. He was working feverishly to buy Kenny a special present. One evening, close to Christmas, Marty showed his mother the present he had finally been able to buy Kenny. The two friends spent just about every waking hour in the woods. "It's something he's wanted for a long time, Mom." It was a compass, a very nice compass. And Marty's mom responded, "Well, you know, Marty, it's a nice gift. It really is. And it was thoughtful of you to do that, but you know, Kenny can't afford a present. And you know his mom is not going to let him keep it." Well, Marty was a step ahead of her. He said, "What if it's a secret?" So Christmas Eve, cold, rainy. Nightfall finally fell. It was finally time for Operation Place the Compass. Marty takes the compass and he goes out of the house and he goes across the field and he stealthily crawls under the electric fence, sneaks up to the house, puts the compass at the door, rings the doorbell, and hightails it home. Man, he's getting it. He's coming across that field. Mama's watching this whole thing. And all of a sudden, pow! He hits the electric fence. Throws him in the air. Lands to the ground. Mama's watching, but she waits. Marty gets up, stunned, staggering, walks back to the house. His face was already red with the blister from the pop of the fence. Marty's mom, you know, doctor did as best she could. And over hot chocolate, he told her about the mission. And as she tucked him in the bed, he said, "Mom, he didn't see me. I know he didn't see me." Well, Christmas morning, Kenny was at Marty's house, showing off the compass and talking about the great mystery. Marty just smiled. The boys just talked. But Marty's mother noticed something. He wasn't cocking his head. He was hearing out of that left ear. So they go to the doctor. Doctor does some tests. Tells them what they already knew. And the doctor surmised that the electric shock somehow mysteriously corrected Marty's problem. Marty's heart was in the right place. He loved his friend and he gave the best gift he knew. He made his plan and he worked his plan. And in the process, an electric fence threw him a curve. Yet the curve turned out to be his gift. Life is full of curves. Life is full of blessings. Sometimes, the blessings are found in the curves. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, you know, to be honest, sometimes the curves of life get on our nerves. And to be honest, sometimes those curves seem to be some awfully long curves. Yet, Lord, you've always got a bigger plan. You see what we cannot see. You know what we cannot know. And in those curves, you send your blessings. And sometimes those curves, which threw us for a loop, turn out to be a blessing of which we would have never dreamed. So, gracious Lord, when we find ourselves in the midst of the curve, may we trust you, and may we anticipate the blessing that's going to come out of it. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.